Okay, let's continue with the next topic, agenda paper 4, premium experience adjustment related to current and past services. And the word is...
Yeah, good. Okay, so our next paper is agenda paper 4, which addresses submissions about premium experience adjustments that relate to current or past service. One of the submissions gives two examples of insurance contracts with these kind of premium experience adjustments, and those are workers' compensation cover and some reinsurance agreements. The submissions ask whether these experience adjustments adjust the contractual service margin or whether they're recognised immediately in profit or loss, either as part of insurance revenue or as insurance service expenses. The analysis in the paper observes that some premium experience adjustments, such as the ones that were described in the submission, do relate to current or past service. And applying the requirements in IFRS 17, those premium experience adjustments do not adjust the contractual service margin. And instead, they're recognised immediately in profit or loss as part of insurance revenue. And then to demonstrate how the requirements actually work, we've prepared some examples which are included in the appendix to agenda paper 4. So with that, I'd like to ask TRG members for your views on the analysis in this paper.
Francesco.
My view is that the analysis is very, very, very good. I agree with the conclusions, but I think the staff paper acknowledges that there could be some lack of clarity on the presentation of this component of the analysis that relates to current or past coverage. During the discussion of this paper at the Hong Kong TRG, as we call it, the ISG, we noted that if you look at paragraph 106, you wouldn't be able to find a natural place to put that amount. And that is, I think it's in paragraph 25, if I'm not mistaken, in the staff paper. There is an acknowledgement of that fact. The Hong Kong, I and my colleagues in Hong Kong would be welcoming the possibility to actually have maybe some way to get consistent understanding of where these numbers should be put in the footnotes when they're going to be published. I don't know whether this is something that the annual improvement project could accommodate. It's relatively small. In fact, a very small adjustment, and it would add the clarity, linking back to the discussion today on how to do it in terms of where to put the number going forward. Alternatively, if the ISB staff has got other suggestions on how to make sure that people will put the number in the right place consistently, we can explore that together today during the debate.
Do you think there is any doubt that those numbers belong to revenue? Or is it just where exactly in the line items of the reconciliation it goes?
At the moment, it doesn't go anywhere. There is no line because the lines are very precise. And so this is not an expected outflow. This is not a change in risk adjustment. This is not an allocation CSM. So automatically, you don't know where to put it. So one would say, well, should I then, is there a question that is not part of revenue? And hopefully the paper now says it isn't. It is part of revenue, but then in the analysis of revenue, in the footnotes, then we should be consistently presenting this amount as potentially a fault line. I mean, that could be the simplest thing. Add the fault line, say, revenue coming from experience variances from premium for current and past coverage.
Will help people understand that this is an additional amount of revenue and needs to go to the right right reconciliation disclosure, but I get your
point. From an Hong Kong perspective, and from my perspective as well, treating it as a separate amount, having an extra caption in 106 appear to be the most practical way to do it. The alternative, which doesn't have my vote, but for example, it would be to effectively ask an allocation against the existing lines. Mm-hmm. But that could be far more onerous. And so unless there is a strong reason, which at the moment we cannot foresee, to go for that, we would prefer to have a fourth caption and just call it a day.
Thank you.
JP.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Martin. I agree with the staff's view that premium experience adjustment relating to past or current service clearly, you know, immediately reported, recognized in profit or loss. But I would like to raise, you know, the practical points here. In real practice, I think it is really hard for insurers, you know, applying this standard to identify, you know, separate the premium experience adjustment into past or future service. So I would like to say that I would like ISB to provide some simple, you know, examples, but I don't think just the evidence of lapse is not enough to understand what premium relating to future or, you know, past. So I suggest, like, you know, by product type, you know, for level premium product, it is really hard to for insurers to identify those, you know, premium cash flows into past or future. So in that sense, in that regard, I suggest, you know, just assuming those kind of premium experience adjustment as a future service, which is a, you know, better way for insurance who's preparing this IFRS 17 project. As you already know, we have just, you know, very restricted timeline. We have just 1 year and 3 months to go before the deadline. So by just to, you know, simplifying, as simple as possible, would be best at this moment. I think that's why I pointed out the raising the issues, but identifying the difficulties in that. Thank you.
Joe?
Our conclusion was largely in agreement with what Francesca was saying, so I agree with the logic of the paper, and I think it's come to the answer. I think it would really help clarify and avoid any confusion if there was a line item in the analysis of revenue that that was clear that that's where you should put it. I think given that the standard is so detailed on what the line items are, I would welcome a place for experience adjustments.
Could I ask, do we actually need to modify the standard to create that line item, or in the light of the analysis, will that be what happens anyway and we don't actually need to do anything and people will just do it because it makes sense?
And isn't it a general problem with reconciliations? You always find things which is not really, and then, okay, if it is other, if it is not material, if it is material, then you have a separate item.
However, Martin and Andrea, the fact is that the standard, as Joe pointed out very, very eloquently, is very precise. At the moment, we can reconcile everything. And actually, one of the selling points, if you like, of IFRS 17 is that you can actually have walk through from P&L to balance sheet to cash flow and vice versa. And you pick any point, you can always find the numbers in the opposite direction. This is like the one little anomaly. Why don't we just fix it? Given you already have, you have already the AAP happening. So it's an extra one that shouldn't really take much effort to do it, given that.
I do object. I was just curious.
To quickly add my appreciation for the clarification made in the paper, it's in line with my interpretation that any premium variance related to current or past service should be recognized in revenue. I make the same observation as Francesco. We are in the Hong Kong TRG discussing, you know, when we try to report this item, it under paragraph 106 of IFRS 17, you can't find a box, you know, to put it in. Yeah. So we think, you know, should add one more item, yeah, to capture this. Yeah.
Okay. Ed?
Thanks. Just from the Australian TRG, we're in agreement with the conclusions. Found the paper actually quite useful and helpful. And one of the things we just wanted to point out was the paper spends a lot of time identifying what goes through the P&L and what relates to future service and goes into the CSM. And it's worth reading this in the in conjunction with paragraph 44E, which is then what you're required to do to the CSM, which is to allocate it over the current and future period. So it just doesn't stop at this paper. You have to then do that next step.
That's
so we thought it would be very worthwhile drawing that people's attention to that.
Okay. Gail?
Thank you. So we would agree with what's in the paper. And I was less worried about which line, but I think one of the debates we had internally was The reason we had lots of people potentially thinking it didn't go into revenue immediately was because of B124, and it's because the revenue is or are, and then it lists ABC, whatever the numbers are, and it wasn't there. So I did ask a question whether saying could include or somehow making it clear that it is in there would be helpful. I'm less worried about it being a line but not listed there. I think part of the confusion gave rise to the question in the first place. I think my second comment is similar to Anne's. I'm slightly not concerned, but I think there is a question. If you slightly change the fax pattern, which I know, Martin, you don't want us to, but if this is more than a one-year contract period, I think there is an interaction between the coverage periods and B119, mm-hmm. and I think you end up with potentially odd answers if you follow the logic in this staff paper, or maybe it's not odd answers, but there is a consequence on the longer-term contracts when it's beyond a year.
It's following the requirements of the standard.
Following the requirements of the standard, yes. I think you end up with not what most people expect to be an outcome, logically.
So to Anne's point, what you're saying is just that reminder to people that there's a second step that follows this one.
Yes, and I guess my question then is everyone happy that that gives what everyone wants, because it's not, I think, what people think they're going to get.
You've worried everyone now.
We had three options. We had three different alternatives, and the one that everyone thought was the answer was the one we all agreed the words didn't get you to. Okay. So there were two other alternatives. But, yeah, so I think people need to look at it.
There is a potential of a double count.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't sound the same as not what people expect. I don't...
It's a different fact pattern, but I just think it is a consequence. Yeah, because when we had our debates, one of the reasons we might not go into revenue and go into CSM is to enable us to get a better answer over the longer term ones. So there is
looking at the analysis of paragraph B123, it seems to get to the right place. So I understand your comment about B124 may seem incomplete, but I think that looking at both paragraphs together, people should end up in the right conclusion. The same thing, I guess, for reconciliation and revenue disclosures. I guess when you look at the requirements of the standard, you have to end up with disclosing that number somewhere. So I don't think it will get lost, but I understand that people would like to think where it would be presented, and it's not precise currently. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Very nice. Okay, so I think what I heard is that a couple of things. So I think generally TRG members agreed with the paper. There were comments that insurers need to consider these premium experience adjustments when they're doing their reconciliation disclosures around insurance revenue. There was another comment that in some fact patterns it might be difficult to determine whether premium experience adjustment relates to past or whether it relates to future. And also a reminder that as well as this paper, then there's a second step about allocating the CSM to the current period and future periods.
Okay, thanks, Laura. We go to the next one. Roberta.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to develop the agenda.